Okay, we're going to start recording. Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Tzadik Ches. We're going to start from the Mishnah on Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis, approximately 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah. Somebody has to mute themselves because we hear a lot of background noise here. Okay, Shkoyach. Says the Mishnah, someone is sitting on iskupa. Iskupa means the shvel, the threshold that separates between, the threshold underneath a doorway. And here, this threshold was a threshold that leads from a house into Rishus HaRabim, or from Rishus HaRabim into his house. Like the Mishnah says, he was reading a sefer. Now, the Sefer, says Rashi, is not Svarim like we have today, which are nicely printed and bound, but rather the Svarim in yesteryear were all scrolls. Rashi says, Ke'en Sefer Torah Shalon, like our Sefer Torah, that it has presumably two Atzi Chaim, and you open it up, and it can roll out of your hand, and that's what happened over here. He was reading the Sefer Torah, or Kisvi HaKodesh, any other type of Sefer, Alu Eskupa. Unfortunately, the other side of the sefer rolled out of his hand, and says the Mishnah, one side is still in his hand. Only one side unrolled. The other side was still in his hand. Now, it doesn't say clearly in the Mishnah, but Rashi learns that it's talking about that the second part of the sefer actually hit the ground and is lying on the ground. And I'm sitting there on the eskupa, holding the other atzichayim, meaning the other side, with my hands. I'm allowed to be golo etzlo. I cannot get down from where I am and walk over and pick it up. Why? It's Shabbos. And as we'll see shortly in the Gemara, the assumption is that in front of the house was Rishus HaRabim, and where he was sitting had the status of Rishus HaYochid. So clearly you cannot go and pick up from the Rishus HaRabim, the other half of the Sefer, and bring it back in. But you can go and be Megalgal. You're allowed to go and roll it. And we're going to learn much more about this in the Gemara. L'chore, there should be a Gzeira, that if you're going to allow a person to go and roll, just like the first part of the scroll, that is the other part, which is lying Rishus HaRabim, as I am rolling it, maybe I'm not going to do Chas V'Shalom such a good job, it's going to come out of my hands, and maybe the one that I'm holding is also going to go and roll out to Rishus HaRabim, and then I'm going to be so exasperated, I'm going to quickly run down from the eskupa into Rishus HaRabim, pick the whole thing up, bring it back. L'chaira, I should make a gzeira that I shouldn't be able to do this type of rolling. We'll see in Miyat Hashem as we go through the Mishnah and the Gemara, whether there is a gzeira, not a gzeira. We're talking about Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim. Everything hopefully will become closer, become clearer, as we go through the Mishnah and the Gemara. Anyway, so bottom line is you have a person who's sitting there on the threshold. He has part of the Sefer in his hand, the other part, Nebuch, has rolled out onto the Rishus HaRabim in front of him. So what can you do? Says the Mishnah, Goy Lietzlo, you have the right to go and be Golel, to go and wind it up towards you. What happens to Yikoy Barish Agag? He wasn't sitting on a threshold, he was sitting on the roof. And he was sitting, unfortunately, very close to the edge of the roof. Finiskagala Sefer Miyode. Same thing happened, that the other part of the Sefer left his hand, but one part is still in his hands. So now it depends on how far it unraveled. Achvi Gila Sora Tvachim, if it's higher than 10 Tvachim from the ground, Goyle Etzle, then he's allowed to go and be Goylet back to himself. Similar to the previous case on the eskupa. But Mishigil Asara Tvachim, once it goes below Asara Tvachim, meaning that now the other part of the Sefer is within 10 Tvachim from the ground, which now has a status of a Rishus HaRabim, he can no longer be Golel Etzloi. On the surface, this seems to be inconsistent with the first halach of the Mishnah, because the first halach of the Mishnah is talking about also that Nisgalgal HaSefer Miyodoi, and it was in the Rishus HaRabim lying on the ground. No problem, Goyli Etzlai. Here, where the other part of the Sefer is unfortunately hovering in mid-air, but it's within 10 tefachim from the ground, so it's within the ear space of Rishus Rabim. You know what? Don't be golel anymore, but hoifchoy ala ksav. What you got to do is turn the ksav over onto the other side so that passers-by cannot recognize, oy, 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 look, a Sefer Torah or other Kisvei HaKodesh is unraveled and you can see all the words. It should be turned over on the other side to minimize the bizoyan of the Sefer.
So the air, as long as it's in airspace, it's still okay. You can roll it up.
So far.
Exactly.
But the correct girsa is maloi chut. Chut means a thread. Even if it's only the thickness of a thread or the breadth of a thread from the ground. In other words, it's virtually on the ground. It's just off by a tenth of an inch or whatever the thickness of a thread is. What's the din? Goyle atzlai. Says your beauty can still be goyle back to yourself. As long as it has not hit ground. Reb Shimon Oimer, afilu b'aretz atzmoi. Even if from the roof, it's gone all the way down to the ground. In other words, it's a very long sefer, or this building is not that tall, and it's gone all the way down to the ground, and Nebuch, it's lying on the ground. That is the second half. Part of it is still in my hands. The second part is Nebuch all the way down on the ground. You could still be goyel. Since the whole reason why you wouldn't be able to go and bring it up is only because of the Gezeira Derabanan. What's the Gezeira Derabanan? Like we said before, that perhaps if he's not going to be careful in rolling it up, just like he wasn't sufficiently careful the first time, because the first part of the Sefer has unraveled down to down below, and it's, according to Reb Shimon, in Reb Shimon's case, it actually hit ground bottom, it's on the floor. If he's not careful, the part that he is now rolling and scrolling, it might also fall down to the floor. And what is he going to do? He's going to be so terrified, he's going to be so upset. He's going to rush down from the roof, run down the staircase, go all the way down to the ground, pick it up, bring it back in. And that, of course, will be an iser of being moitzim rishus l'rishus, from rishus harabim into rishus yachiv. But that's only a shvus. The shvus means an iser drabon, a gzeira. If he doesn't do it, then everything is fine. It says Reb Shimon, avada, I should be very concerned that this person might run down and pick it up. But that's only might, hopefully might not. So, says Reb Shimon, the whole thing is a might, a shvus perhaps, since we are talking about the bizoyan of Kisvei HaKodesh, the Chachamim relaxed any potential gezeira, and they said, you know what, scroll to the best of your ability, roll and roll and roll, and hopefully you'll be careful and it will not fall to the ground and this will not occur. Zok Imar. We start the beginning of the Mishnah again, was talking about the iskupa, the person sitting on the threshold. Hai iskupa hechidami. Ilem iskupa rishusay yachid. Are we talking about that the iskupa had the status of rishusay yachid? How did it have the status of rishusay yachid? Says Rashi. It was gevoya asor, it was 10 tvachim from the ground. Rechova arboin was 4 tvachim wide. In other words, think of one of the, you have townhouses or brownstones here on the west side. You could be sitting 10 tvachim removed from the ground. Presumably there are a bunch of steps in front of you. They have a fairly large threshold going into your, in other words, there's a landing over there. You're sitting on that landing, reading or learning a sefer. Half of the sefer unfortunately rolls out, goes down to the ground beyond the steps. It's on the floor of the Rishus HaRabim. You're sitting there high and mighty on the Rishus HaYachid because it's 10 tall, 4 wide. If that's the case, the kama means, and in front of him, the property is rishus harabim. Zoktimar v'loy gozrinan, and apparently from the beginning of our Mishnah, we see we're not gozer dilma nafil v'asil asuye. That perhaps as he is rolling, maybe unfortunately the second half is also going to fall to the ground. And once it falls down, he's going to quickly run down the steps, pick it up. And then he's going to be, oivis, says Rashi, a chiyuv chatos, if he's bringing it in from the Rishus HaRabim, the Rishus HaYachid. But we see from our Mishnah that we're not concerned about that potential possibility, and we are not goizer, says the Gemara, L'choira, who holds that way? Mani Reb Shimoni. That's Reb Shimon at the very tail end of the Mishnah. Remember, Reb Shimon is talking about the roof case. But Reb Shimon gave a very clear halacha, and he said, the Omer kol dover shehu mishum shvus. If you're nervous about the possibility of this gezeira, what's this gezeira? That you might come and rush down to the ground and bring it back in from the Shus Rabim into the Shus Yachid, said Reb Shimon, no. No shvus eine oim b'fnei kisvei HaKodesh. The bezoyin over here, where the kisvei HaKodesh are spread out from the roof down to the floor. And in this case, the case of the eskupa, where it's unraveled from the threshold down to the floor, it's a terrible bizoyin. Says Reb Shimon, we have to relax all potential gezeirois, and we have to be machmir on the tzad of, let's save this kisvei HaKodesh from bizoyin. So therefore, although the Tanakam of our Mishnah is not named, it's nameless, l'choyre it's Reb Shimon at the tail end of the Mishnah. Let's continue on in the Mishnah. Let's go into the case again of the gag, of the roof. You see, here it doesn't say Moloi Machat. It says Moloi Hachut. Goyloi Etzloi. Even though it's only a hair breadth away from the floor, you could be Goylo Etzloi. But not if it hits ground. Only if it's one hair breadth from the ground. Reb Shimon Oymer Afilu Ba'oretz Atzma Goyle. Even if he hit the ground, Goyle Etzlei. Now, it seems to be pretty clear that therefore the Tanakam of our Mishnah, who is unnamed, who is talking about the Iskupa, the threshold case, L'choira, that's Reb Shimon. Because just like Reb Shimon is talking about that the Sefer unraveled all the way down to the ground, here too, but the Iskupa, it unraveled all the way to the ground. Reb Shimon in the Sefer says, no concern about potential gezeirois, I'm more concerned about the bizoyin of kisvei HaKodesh. So, just like Reb Shimon says that in the Sefer, that's presumably the Tana of the Tanakama of our Mishnah in the Reisha. So, Freik Tiyamara, Reisha v'Sefer Reb Shimon mitziyosa Reb Yehuda, we're going to have something that's quite extraordinary. The unnamed Tanakama is Reb Shimon. In the middle we get to Reb Yehuda, and then we get back to Reb Shimon. Wouldn't that be rather strange? Ever the Gemara Omer Rav Yehuda. This is not Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda is Reb Yehuda, Reb Eloi the Tana, and Reb Yehuda is Reb Yehuda the Amora, Reb Yehuda ben Reb Yecheskel. Anyway, so Omer Rav Yehuda in Reish V'Sefer Reb Shimon, Mitzios Reb Yehuda. I have no better way of learning the Choyre, that's the best pshat, although it's a little bit of a strained pshat. Chonish Gabreira, the Reisha is Reb Shimon, then we have Reb Yehuda in the middle, and then we go back to Reb Shimon once again. Rabba Omer Rabba says, I have a better pshat. Hocha b'yiskufa ha-nidresis askinan, umishum b'zoyin kisvi ha-koidish shor rabbanan. Say the Rabba, in this case of the Reisha, we're talking about an iskupa. A iskupa is a threshold. And we're not just talking about a threshold that leads into a private house. We're talking about a threshold where tens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of people are constantly going back and forth. For instance, it might be the iskupa to a shul or to besmedesh, where you have tons and tons of people coming and going the entire Shabbos, coming in and going out. And therefore, we have two concerns. Number one, the bizoyin to the kisvei HaKodesh is so much greater pronounced, because if it's hanging from the roof, a lot of people are not looking up. They're just walking by. They may not even notice it. Here, however, if people are walking in and shul, in and out of shul the whole time, and they see Nebuch a Sefer Torah, or a Sefer Yeshaya, or a Sefer Tehillim, or whatever, which is rolled out on the ground, everybody shudders when they see it. It's a tremendous, tremendous bizoyin. Or even worse, since it's on a threshold that there's so many people, some people might not even notice and Chas HaShalom actually walk Chulila on the Klaf Nebuch of this Sefer. So says Rabbah, everybody would agree, even Reb Yehuda would agree, in this case, that it's Nebuch, such a terrible Bizoyin, that here we're not Machmer whatsoever. We only think about the Gzeirois potentially when they're unraveled from the roof, because at least nobody's walking there, it's not so noticeable, it's on the side, if I'm walking across the street, or even if I'm passing by, I might not notice it if I'm not focusing attention on all of my surroundings. But if it's Kumpah and the dresses, Everybody would agree in unison, unanimously, we're not going to be worried about the potential that he's going to go out and bring it back in. I'm rather more concerned about the horrific bizoyan of this Kisvei HaKodesh. Frank Dimor Eisvei Abaye. Toich Dalam is Goyloi Etzloi Chutz Ledalet Hoifchei Al Haksav. Abaye brings a brisa that expands on the first case of our Mishnah. Remember, the first case of the Mishnah was that the Sefer unraveled into the Rishus HaRabim. Now says Abaye, he says the brisa that Abaye is bringing, Toich Dalet Amos Goyloi Etzloi, if it unraveled into Rishus HaRabim, but less than 4 amois. In other words, the Sefer stopped 3.5 amois after the threshold. It's lying in the Rishus HaRabim. But either it didn't totally open up till the end, or even if it did, the total till the end was only 3.5 amois lying there in the Rishus HaRabim. Then Goyle Etzel, you can go and be Goyle it. You can go and try to roll it back. However, Chutzal Dalit, if it's beyond Dalit, like a Chas HaShom, a long, long Sefer Torah, you're holding on to Devorim for dear life. Nebuch, it's all the way to Bereishis, and it's almost halfway down the block. It's much more than 4 amos. Hoyv Chayal HaKsav, in such a case, you should turn it upside down on the Ksav, like we had in the case of the Kag.
It's a little bit dangerous, though, to turn on the side, because the parchments are sewn together, and that could be a tricky feat to...
Everything you're saying is correct, but leaving it out in the open like that is also a tricky feat.
I think that the design of the Sefer being out in the open behooves us to roll it up and put it back to its original...
So, in fact, if it's less than 4 amos, we are behooved to the maximum to be golo etzlei. Once it's more than 4 amos, then you go and the hapach neksav. Now, you're asking a very good question. What's the difference between more than 4 amos or less than 4 amos? So now the Gemara assumes at this point that the reason why there's a difference is because what happens if, in fact, the person wants to retrieve the Sefer from the Rishus HaRabim and bring it inside? Worst comes to worst comes to worst. If it's less than Dalet Amos, he's not going to be carrying Dalet Amos by Rishus HaRabim, which is Nishkeferlich. In fact, we saw in yesterday's Mishnah, yesterday's Gemara, that you could have a situation where you have, for instance, a baby or tefillin, that if you carry it less than 4 amos, we even had one man diyama, Rabbi Yehuda, that said that even a chavius, either the chavius in the barrel itself or the contents of the barrel, like we had yesterday in the Gemara, even that you let it go and carry less than 4 amos. Aha, so that's the pshat over here in the Gemara Legabe, the Sefer Torah. If it's less than 4 amos, worse comes to worse, it falls out of your hands, then you're going to be carrying it less than 4 amos. However, if it falls out of your hands and it goes beyond Dalet Amos, and you carry it back from Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be carrying 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim. So that's L'choyre, the concern. If you're going to learn like Rabbi told us, then we're not talking about a simple threshold, but a threshold where there's a lot of traffic, people coming back and forth. What difference does it make? What does Igmar mean, what difference does it make? Because after all, you're certainly right that a person who carries 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim, Chas V'Sholem, he's been over an Isser D'Araisa, if he does it B'Shogeg, he has to bring a Karm Chatos. No question. But the same thing applies to a person who retrieves the Sefer and brings it from the Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid. Why are you more concerned about that he might go jump down from the Eskupa, snatch up the Sefer Torah, he's going to go and carry it more than 4 amos Rishus HaRabim? Yeah, that's terrible. But it's equally terrible, even if it's less than 4 amos in the Rishus HaRabim, the fact that he's going to go down there, snatch it up, and bring it back into Rishus HaYachid. The same Isur of Hoitzah. This is Havora, Dal Rabis Rishus HaRabim. This is Hoitzah, Rishus and Rishus. But in both cases, if you do that Bishogig, you have to bring a Karbin Chatas. And therefore, says the Gemara, if we're talking about a classic case that you're talking about, that the Eskupa has the status of a Rishus HaYachid, the property in front of it where it unraveled is Rishus HaRabim, Mali Toich, Mali Chutz. In both cases, if you're Goyzer, you should Goyzer, but both, don't roll it back in. Rather, covered over by turning it upside down. Or if you hold, no, it's terrible bizoyin, let's roll it in. So you should roll it in even if it's more than 4 amas, and not be gozer b'mokim the bizoyin of kisvi akoidish. And therefore, Elom Rabbaye, I have a brand new pshat. We're not talking about that in front of the eskupa was, no, we're not talking about an eskupa that was 4 amas, 4 tvachim wide and 10 tvachim tall, but rather we're talking about that it was not 10 tvachim tall. It was 9 tvachim tall or 8 tvachim tall. Think of it, for instance, in all these brownstones over here on the west side. Going up all the steps, you've gone certainly more than 10 tvachim from ground level. When you get to the landing on top, it's certainly more than 4 tvachim. But what happens if you're not all the way up there? You happen to be on the third step of the staircase, or the fourth step, where you're not 10 tvachim from the ground. You're holding the sefer there, and the sefer is unraveled, and where you're sitting now has the status of a karmelis, not the status of a rishus hayochid. Oh, and then Nebuchadnezzar rolled out. So then, says the Gemara, says Abaya, go and roll it back in. What is your concern that Chas V'Sholom, as you're rolling, it might slip out of your hands, and the whole thing is going to fall down to the ground, and then you're going to come snell without thinking. You're going to go rush down, retrieve it, and bring it back to the Iskupa. I mean, it's not a wonderful, happy event, but you're not even Issa D'Oraisa, because snatching something and carrying it from Shusarab to a Carmelis is an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's not an Issa D'Oraisa. Avad, it's Asur, but you don't have to bring a Karm Chatas. And therefore, Elam Rabbi, Hocham, the scoop, Carmelis Askinan, Uru Shusarab, my veris live on now. The Toich Talar Amois, now I understand why we're distinguishing between the 4 Amois and more or less. Because Toich Talar Amois, the Nofel, Umaisilei, if Chas V'Sholom, the second part of the Sefer, rolls out of his hands, it falls down to the ground, he rushes down, he picks it up, brings it back to the Carmelis. In Rishus Rabim, he's walked and carried less than Dalar Amos, Toich Dalar Amos. The fact that he brought it back to the Carmel is, okay, it's Taka Osir. But, Loi Osili Dechi of Chatzas, Shorle Rabbanan, therefore the Rabbanan said, you want me to make a gzera? I'm not going to make a gzera in this case, because worst comes to worst, he's going to be over an Isid Rabbanan. I'm not going to make a gzera the gzera. Don't allow him to roll, because maybe it's going to fall down to the ground. Oi, mecha gzera. Maybe he's going to pick it up. And worst comes to worst, if he picks it up, he brings it back, and we over Isid Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan were not so machmir. However, Chutzli Arba Amois, if it rolled out more than 4 Amois, the Maiselet, if he's going to go down schnell to the ground, pick it up, and bring it back to the Iskupa, even though from the Rishus Rabim to the Iskupa is no problem, the Oiraisa, because he only brought it back to a Carmelis. Mm-hmm. However, he is carrying 4 Amois in the Rishus Rabim. The Maiselet, also the Chi of Chatas. Then Shorle Rabban. Then the Chachamim were Machmir. Okay, so the Gemara says the Choyra, a very nice Pshat. Abai is saying, that's Pshat in our Mishnah. We're not talking about Neskubar Shusayachid. We're talking about a Carmelis. And that's why even if the whole thing rolls out, yes, you're allowed to go and roll it back. But, like the Braisa says, only if it's within 4 Amos and Shusaram. If it's more than that, then I'm afraid Chas V'Sholom, he might come to be Mavir Dalaram Shusaram.
That's not implied from the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't talk.
Say that, but this is the price which expands upon it.
Implying about Hachnasa, that seems to be the. If you read the simple reading, I would think it's talking about not being Mavardal, not most of it's talking about being Machmas.
Absolutely. So Brother Shai correctly points out that our Mishnah doesn't mention a word about the length that it fell out in Rishus Rabim. You're 100% right. The only concern of our Mishnah was being Machmas from Rishus Harabim into the Carmelis, says the Mishnah, that's no problem. Roll and roll and roll. Worst comes to worst, it falls out of your hands, you can go and bring it back. Not that you can bring it back up, but if you did rush down without thinking, picked it up, brought it back to the Iskupa, okay, you'll be Oivin Isser Drabban, you won't be Oivin Isser the Oiraisa, and that's why they were not Goizer in our case. They didn't say Hoifchei Alexav, they said roll and roll and roll. The price, however, said, we're on a roll. I want you to know that that halach only applies if it's within 4 amas. If it's more than 4 amas, then I would still be geyser. But you're right, the Mishnah doesn't mention a word.
Also, what is he doing with the Sefer in the Carmelis on Shabbos?
We're assuming that the Carmelis was that, I know I gave an example of a person on the third step. How did he get to the third step? So let's not talk about a third step. We're talking about that it wasn't a brownstone where you had to go and carry up 10 tefachim. There were only three steps up to the door. Like you have many houses in the country. Sometimes you have no steps whatsoever. You just go in flat. Sometimes you have to go. Okay, so well, let's say slightly. The house, of course, itself is Rishus Yachid, no question. But in front of the house, you had a very nice landing, probably very picturesque. Probably the engineers and the architects made it fancy and schmancy, and they charge you $100,000 more because you did it. And you have this nice landing in front of the house, and from there down to the ground is three steps. It was all of 9 tvachim from the ground, but very nice. There are probably pretty flowers over there and nice pillars and all, whatever. Anyway, that since it was not 10 tvachim from the ground, and perhaps it wasn't even 4 tvachim wide, but we don't need to come on to that. Just the fact that it's not 10 tvachim tall. So therefore, that landing, even though it's connected to Rishus Yachid, but it has a separate status of a karmelis. So if he's sitting over there with his sefer, and it, then you're asking, why did he go and take it out in the first place over there? But that was the story. He was reading and learning from the sefer, and maybe he has a mini Oroin over there, a bookcase that has a bunch of such svarim there on the Carmelis. It's nicely covered over.
The lighting's better.
The lighting is better. He didn't even have to take it out.
Okay.
He didn't even take it out of the house. It was there. Anyway, the bottom line is that was the situation, and now it unrolled. So if it's less than 4 tvachim on the ground, bring it back. If it's more than 4 tvachim, says the price, you gotta turn it upside down. You have to turn over the ksaf. I have another issue. What's my issue? True, he was sitting there on the Carmelis, and he feels miserable that Nebuch, this beautiful sefer, is half of it's there in the Shusarabim, and half of it's there with him on the Carmelis. So what's going to happen? Chas v'sholom, as he's rolling, he's going to go and make a misstep, and Nebuch, what he's holding in his hand, is going to roll down into Rishus Yachid. So he said, we don't have to be geyser, because worst comes to worst, he rolls down, he runs down, it's within four amos from where he was sitting, so he'll bring it back in. Less than 4 amos in Rishus Rab, you don't have a problem of being maver dalet amos. Putting it back on the Carmelis, of course, it'll be awesome in Rabbanan, but no chiyuv chatos. The chamum were not goyzer. But Frank Dimora, do you think he's just going to leave the sefer there on the Carmelis? He's likely to go and bring it into his home and put it out on the table and try to roll it again and check whether chas v'sholom there's any damage and everything is okay. So since he's not thinking, there's a very strong likelihood he's going to go rush down to Rishus Rabbim, pick it up, rush through the Carmelis into Rishus Yachid, and now he's going to be Mavir from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus Yachid. Isn't that also a problem? And I'm sure you're all thinking to yourselves, okay, but there was a Carmelis in between. As long as there's a Carmelis in between that protects you from a potential chiv chatos, because you deem it as if you landed on the Carmelis, and then you go further from the Carmelis into the Shusay Yachid, and therefore you don't have a problem of being moitzi directly from Shusay Rab to Shusay Yachid. However, Rava Rava said, "Hamaver chayfetz metchiles arba lesoif arba, the viroi derech alav is chayov." Rava says a person who wants to go and carry in the Rishus Rabbim, and he wants to go more than 4 amos, and this person learned in a yeshiva, so he has some basic knowledge. So he says, "You know what? I got a great idea. I know that Rishus Rabbim only goes up to 10 tvachim from the ground. So when I'm going to go and carry, I'm going to go and take the chayfetz derech olav. Derech olav means like over his head or over his shoulders. And so if I'm going to be traveling in a mokim tour, says Rava, you're still chayef. Why? Because you're hoytir akira. You uprooted it from the Rishus Rabbim. You went and your final step was placing it down in the Rishus Yachid. So even though it went mid-air, nevertheless, we look at the first airport where you left from. We look at the destination where you arrived at. And if you started Shisaram and you ended off Shisaram, even though you were mid-air, you're chayv. So it says the same thing should apply over here too. That if you were chas v'sholem, whilst you're rolling the sefer, if it should slip out of your hands, and you rush down quickly, it's less than four tvachim, less than four amis in a shusaram. So I don't have to be worried about being mavir four amis in a shusaram. But if I'm going to go and bring it up to the karmelis, and then for the karmelis in shusayachid, am I not going to be over then carrying for shusaram shusayachid? So you're saying there's a karmelis in between. I see from Rav it makes no difference if you have even a makip tur in between. You're still chai because you look at the initial akira and you look at the final hanacha. We're talking about that this landing, this iskupa, this threshold was quite long. The Gemara doesn't tell us how long it was, but it was long enough that a person should start thinking. Meaning, unfortunately, a lot of this happened because the person was not sufficiently meticulous and careful. That's why it rolled out. And as he's rolling it back, unfortunately, once again, it slipped out of his hands. And therefore, he quickly, without thinking, rushed down, picked it up, brought it back to the Karmelis. And you're thinking to yourself, well, from the Karmelis, he's probably going to rush quickly into Shusayachis. No, it was such a long iskupa. By the time he got to the iskupa, by the time he got to Shusayachid, hey, 1 second, what am I doing? I'm going to take a sefer from Shusarabim and deposit it now in the Shusayachid. Oy, 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 I better ask a shayla before I do that. You know, Chas v'Sholom might be a chi of chatas. So he's going to think about it. At a hachi v'hachi midkar, he's going to remember, not so fast, stick around. The Gemara doesn't tell us what the shear of that arucha is, whether it's 3 feet, 5 feet, 20 feet, 50 feet. But the Gemara says it was wide enough that I don't have to be concerned that he's going to go all the way through Shusayachid. Or, it's talking about that the iskupa was not so long. However, what the Gemara is saying is that this person, after all, was originally learning in the Sefer. I mean, that's how this whole thing started out. And then, unfortunately, he lost one of the two sides. It fell down to the ground. He went, and even if he were to rush down to go and pick it up, because the whole thing fell out, when he comes to the Carmelis, what is he likely to do? What he's likely to do is, iyunei ma'ayin bahu. He's not going to quickly rush into the Rosh Hashanah, but rather, while he's on the Carmelis, he's probably going to open it up and make sure that it didn't get damaged in any way, that nothing fell, nothing, it didn't get schmutzig, it didn't get dirty when it rolled out into Rosh Hashanah. So he's going to stick around in the Carmelis for a bit of time. So therefore, your Akira was in the Rosh Hashanah, your Hanoch is now in the Rosh Hashanah, not in the Rosh Hashanah, but in the Carmelis. So you don't have to worry. Says the Gemara, you're right that the person obviously is concerned that the Kisvei HaKodesh didn't get damaged. You know what? He might not wait until he gets to the Carmelis to be Ma'ayin, but rather as he picks it up in the Shusarabim, he might be Ma'ayin already at that time to make sure that there was no damage. It's not dusty, it's not dirty, none of the letters Chas v'Sholom got scraped or whatever. And if that's the case, after he convinces himself that it's pretty good, then he's going to rush up, take it into the Carmelis and straight into Rosh Hashanah, and he'll have no reason to stick around in the Carmelis to review any potential damage, but rather he's going to go straight into Rosh Hashanah. Don't I have weiter a problem? Everything more Amari ben Azahi, the Omer Mahalach ki Oimedami. Oh, this is the famous Ben Azai. We haven't had this Ben Azai in a long time, all the way from the beginning of Masechta Shabbos on Daf Hey. But Ben Azai says that as a person is walking, every step that he makes, the foot hits the ground. So therefore, each time a person is walking, there's an automatic hanocha. So what happened over here? The person went and carried, again, it's not that he actually carried. The gzeir is, he might potentially come to carry, if as he is rolling the scroll back in, it might fall out of his hands, he might rush down to Rosh Hashanah, he might bring it back, he's going to go from the Rosh Hashanah, through the Carmelis, into the Rosh Hashanah, don't we have a problem? Says Yimar, goes according to Panazai. The Panazai says, as soon as the person came to the Carmelis, even though he kept on walking at a quick pace, makes no difference. It's as if he stood there for a millisecond. Because, if in fact, if you have one of these old-time cameras, you can go and see each scene, you can go and splice it. So for a millisecond, he was there on the Carmelis. So there was an Akira in the Rishus HaRabim, a Hanocha in the Carmelis. Then, as a result of his continuing to walk into the Rishus HaYachid, there was an Akira from the Carmelis into Rishus HaYachid. So, although it's Osam Midrabanan, there's no Isser D'Araisa, so there's no reason why I should be Gozer, and that's why I allow him to go and roll it in from the Rishus HaRabim. Even though it might, Chas V'Shalom, fall out, I'm not Gozer. You have another problem. Maybe the person's going down to the Shasaram. He went and he picked the whole thing up. He says, I'm a little bit nervous about carrying it now. I don't want to get carried away. Because if I go and carry it now into the Carmelis, into the Shasayachit, you know what? He just gives it a throw. He says, hey, Yankel, you just wait there. I'm going to throw the sefer to you and you'll catch it and you'll bring it in. Even Ben Azai that says that unfortunately you cannot avoid an Isser D'Araisa of a Karban Chatos, because every single step of the way it's as if you stood there, it's as if a new Hanacha. But Ben Azai also agrees that if you threw it on a fly ball, in this case a fly safer, that you're flying, that it flies from the Shusrab into the Shusayachit, says Ben Azai, you're Chayef. So why aren't you choishish that the person might go and do that? Rav Acha bar Ahava, it says Rav Acha, probably should be Rav Ada bar Ahava. Zois emeres ein mizrokin kisvi akoidish. Come on, you don't throw svarim. If you're down in the Shusarabim, you're not going to throw a Sefer Torah or something that looks very similar to Sefer Torah. You're not going to throw a Sefer Yeshaya or a Sefer Tilim or any type of scroll from down below to up above and say, yo, give a catch and hold on to it. No, you're not going to do that. That's pasish. So therefore, I'm not goyzer the person's going to throw it. I'm not goyzer all the other gzeirois. And therefore, bottom line is, you are allowed to go and scroll it all the way from the Rosh Hashanah into the Carmelis, according to Abaye. Again, Abaye's Bryce says, but only if it was unraveled up to, but less than 4 amas. If it was more than 4 amas, then I have to be concerned that he'll go down and pick it up and carry it 4 amas in the Shusra.
According to Ben Azai, then, the only way you could be Maver Dal Amas for Shusra is by Zrika. That's the only Hechatimsa. Every time you walk, unless you did a jump maybe or something.
You have to analyze Ben Azai, because L'Choyra, according to Ben Azai, it's the other way around. It should be a kula that every time he's walking and carrying the Shusharab, 4 amas, he's made mini, 12 mini
haitzos. Right.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. So the only way he could be over is
through Zrika. It could be.
Could be.
We'd have to delve a little bit further into Ben Azai. If a person was laning a Rosh Hagag, and once again it went beyond his hands, it's over the side, it's within 10 tefachim from the ground, you can no longer go and be golel it back, you have to go and turn it over to the other side. Is this permissible? This was bothering Daniel before. How can you go and turn it on the other side? If you happen to be a sofer and you're writing Sifrei Stam, Svarim, Tefillin, Mezuzos, what happens if the sofer wants to take a break? After all, you cannot go and write a whole sefer in one sitting. Maybe Tefillin and Mezuzos, if you're a very experienced and you're a good sefer, maybe you can go and write that quickly. But a whole sefer Torah is going to take you a while. Now, every time you leave the sefer to eat something, to go daven, to do whatever you got to do, the ink could still be wet, and you might have dust that will settle on the sefer. And then when I come back an hour later, half an hour later to continue, it's a mess, all this dust. You can't go and turn it over on the other side and let it dry. Rather, go and put on top of it some sort of beged. Today, there was put a plastic or something else, some sort of
knife. Is that where the minhag comes from between aliyahs that we put parochas?
The reason why we go and put something on top is because it's a bizoyan for the sefer to be lying there and we're not using it. If we're leaning from it, that's one thing. But if you're not leaning from it, what do you... So if you're going to cover it over to keep it nicely covered. So that's a bizoyan for the sefer. So frankly, we're over here, and the parilas is a beged. So we see from this that you're not supposed to go and turn it on the other side. That's a bizoyan. And here you're telling me by the case of the roof, you should turn it to the other side and make up your mind. Should you not? Everything more hasim efshir, hachali efshir. In the case of the Sefer Torah, the Sefer, who's writing the Sefer Torah to Lemezuzois, he has an Eitzah. What's his Eitzah? Instead of turning it over, you do a cover up, you put over a beged. Here, you didn't have a long enough beged, and even if you had, presumably you wouldn't be able to go and unravel it onto the Sefer, because just like what he did to have the Sefer dangling there in mid-air, was not right from one Rishus to the other. After all, he's in Rishus HaYochid, and this is dangling in Rishus HaRabim. So you cannot go and now take a beged. If you can take a beged, it's going to all the way down. You have the same problem of being Maver now, potentially from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim.
I think also you still have the bizoin factor, because if it's
That's what the morning says. Hachli Yafshe. V'iloi apich, it could be zoin kisi HaKodesh Tvei. If you're not going to be mapichet, thank you very much. If you're not going to go and turn it over, and you can have the Sefer Torah or the Sefer Kisvei HaKodesh lying out there in the open, unraveled, with the bottom Atzichayim, lying within 10 tvachim from the ground, people are going to pass by, people say, look at that, oh, you look, it's terrible. No. So it's a tremendous bizoin, so rather turn it to the other side, and therefore you can imagine that perhaps it is Kisvei HaKodesh, but perhaps it's not. Because after all, in the good old days, all Svarim, both Kisvei HaKodesh and Lehavdil, secular books, are also written in scroll form. So once it's turned over, you don't know what it is. It could be it's a Sefer Torah, it could be it's a fake news, it could be it's a Shakespeare, it could be who knows what. Anyway, you don't know what it is. Fine. It says you should be hapach al ksav and don't go and try to roll it back. If in fact, loinach, again, we're talking a situation in our Mishnah, it's down the side of the roof, it's within 10 tvachim from the ground, don't roll it back, rather, hoifcha laksav, turn it upside down. Frank Timura, I don't understand why. Valeinach, what means valeinach? What is the issue? Even if the other side is within the Rishus HaRabim, the 10 tvachim from the ground, keep on rolling anyway. Just like we said, that if it's higher than 10 tvachim, you're allowed to roll. Now we're saying, but if it's more than 10 tvachim, in other words, within 10 tvachim from the ground, don't roll it. Why can't you roll it? It's true that the other half is in the Rishus HaRabim, but it never hit the ground. And so therefore you don't have an issue of an Akira from Rishus HaRabim to Hanocha in Rishus HaYachid, because it's just dangling. It's not even 3 tvachim from the ground that you should say, well, it's like love it, it's almost it. No, it's 9 tvachim from the ground. So what's the issue? Keep on rolling it. So you shouldn't have, chas v'sholom, this bizoyin. Zokti Yimara, Amarava, Bekoisel Meshupa. It's talking about that the wall was not totally straight, but as the wall got closer and closer to the ground, as this house got closer to the ground, it went and it was angular, at an angle, that in fact, although the other side of the Kisvei HaKodesh didn't hit the ground, but is lying on the part of the angular part of the Kaisel.
On the slope
of the Kaisel. There's a couple of buildings like that, I think there's 9 West 57th Street,
yes,
and some other buildings like that, that as it goes closer to the ground, it has a nice slope. So, okay, so you had a Sefer Torah, or a Kisvei, thank you. You have Kisvei HaKodesh from the roof, it is going down, it hasn't hit the ground, but it's not just dangling in midair, in fact, it is lying on the sloped part of the wall. Ah, so that's the concern. Let's continue on. Again, not until now, we had assumed that we're talking about it's dangling in midair. So Rabbi Yehuda says, even if it's dangling all the way to within one hair breadth from the ground, keep on being goyim. What do you mean? This is not dangling in midair. This is actually hanochle. It actually hits something, meaning it's lying on that sloped part of the building. If that's the case, so it is noch. It's not like Rebbe Yehuda saying, as long as it's still dangling, meloy achut. It's not dangling. It hit. If that's what you're saying. That's the case of the Mishnah. So you have to go add a couple words to the Mishnah. When did we say that since it went and fell down, if it's within 10 tvachim from the ground, you cannot go and keep on rolling, but that's because it's not fell, it's noch. It is actually lying on the side of the building. Your normal, regular, vertical building, vertical wall, which didn't get all types of awards for doing such a beautiful slope. What's the halacha because she'enu mishupah? L'mal mishloisha goylei hatzloi. If it happens to be higher than 3 tvachim from the ground, then you can be goylei hatzloi. Why? Because it didn't hit ground yet. We're not up to Rabbi Yehuda yet. This is the Tanakama. Tanakama says, as long as it's higher than 3 tvachim, you can be goyel etzloi. L'matu v'shloish, however, if it's lower than 3 tvachim, hoifoy alaksav, because that's deemed to be as if it's on the floor, based on the concept of lovud. Rashi says over here, it's ke'aris michta damia. However, the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, when it talks about aris michta, says that it's based on the inyan of lovud. Lovud means it's within 3 of the ground. So it's as if it hit ground. If it's still within the, if it's a koisel mishupa that actually hit ground and is sitting on the ground being the bottom of the slope of this building, then hoifchei alaksav. However, if it's a regular wall where there is no slope and now it's dangling, if it happens to be lemala miyutvachim from the ground, goyle yetzloi. Even if it's lemata mi asara tvachim from the ground, but once you hit the matam ishloisha within 3 tvachim, then you cannot keep on being goylel, because now you have a problem that it's as if it hit the ground itself. It's noch brishus ram, don't be goylel. Hoif chalaksav. But Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, and you see the two dots over here, Masoris Hashas says that these two dots would seem to be inappropriate, because we're continuing to explain the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, even kemaloi chut, that would be sufficient, even though it's less than 3 tvachim from the ground. It makes no difference. Keep and rolling. So tomorrow, why? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need that it should actually be lying on something for purposes of akira v'hanocha to be over an isra. Rava said a famous halacha that toich shloishel rabbanon, the rabbanon that we're talking about over here, is rabbanon that argue with Rabbi Kiva in halacha of klut kemishahun chadamia. It's not our sugya, but the rabbanon is not referring to Reb Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah or the Tanakama. Rava is talking about another rabbanon that toich shloishel rabbanon, if it's within 3 tvachim from the ground, tzorech hanocha. Even though it's within 3 tvachim from the ground, it's not considered to be hanocha until it actually lies on the ground. If it's within ear space, 3 tvachim, it's not lying on the ground. Now, l'choyer, that's the machloikis in our Mishnah. Because the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, the way we've just interpreted it, reinterpreted it with the Chesuri Machsura, said on the top 2 lines of our Omud, that if it's within 3 tvachim from the ground, it's as if it's lying on the ground. And hoif chalaksav. Rabbi Yehuda said, no. If it's at least 1 hair breadth from the ground, even though it's really within the 3 tvachim, it's just 1 hair breadth away, nevertheless, you can still go and roll it back up.
So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold for virtual being on the ground.
Exactly. He holds that it has to be hanocha al gabi mashu. It actually has to be lying on the ground, which is what Rav is saying. So says Gemara, Leib Ketanoi Amar L'Shmaita. Is Rav paskening like Rabbi Yehuda against the Rabbanon of our Mishnah, against the Tanakh? Amar. Says Gemara, no, Ela Kula Rabbi Yehuda. Really, the whole Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, V'chser Mechzvachi Tani. And we have to now merge the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah and make it all one. When did we say about the Hoifchei Alaksav Koisel Meshupa, where the other end of the Sefer is actually lying on the not the ground, but the sloped part of the wall. So it's lying there. So you can't go and roll it back, because that will be an akira from the Rishus Rabbim, bringing it up to you, to Rishus Yochid, problematic. But if it happens to be a regular, normal, vertical wall, then even if it's all the way so close to the ground, it's only a hair breadth away, it's within three tvachim, keep on being goyel. My time, what's the reason of Reb Yehuda to be an anocha al gabi mashu? When you're talking about hilchos akira v'anocha, it's got to be on, lying on something, lying in mid-air, even though it's within a hair breadth from the ground, it's not lying on anything, it's still hovering in the air. Therefore, it would not be an akira, says Reb Yehuda, keep on rolling and rolling. Once it hits ground and it's lying on the ground, Reb Yehuda says, stop, now you have to be mahapach hasaksat. And even in such a case, says Reb Shimon, no, Reb Shimon says, afilu ba'aretz atzmoi goy le'etzloi, because of the terrible bizoy. So he holds that the rolling is not an issue. The only issue is perhaps if the other part of the sefer falls to the ground, you're going to rush down to pick it up. I'm not goyzer b'mokim bizoy in kisvi ha'kodesh. Zog the Mishnah. Mishnah is very simple. Gemara is very simple. Ziz shelefnei chaloin nois na'olav v'noitlu mimenu b'Shabbos. It happens to be Shabbos, and for instance, you had a lot of guests, and you have a lot of dishes, and there is no counter space to go and put the dishes on, the used dishes. What are you going to do with your sink is full to the top, the counter space is full to the top. Ah, you have an eitzah. Outside your window, there is a ledge, and that ledge is sticking out. Oh, I'm going to go and put my kalim on that ledge. Now, obviously, you have to know what the factual dimensions are, and Rashi immediately fills in the blank. We're talking about that ledge was 10 tefachim from the ground. Therefore, it's above Rishus Rabim, it's connected to Rishus Yochid, and it's also Rochav Dalet 4 tefachim wide. So therefore, it has the dimensions of Rishus Yochid, and since it's connected to your window, it is an annex or an extension of your window, an extension of your apartment. You can go and open the window, right, of the Rishus Yochid, open up the window and put your kalim there. You don't have to worry. Frank the Gemara, why not? Haiziz the Mapik Lehecha. Where is that ledge sticking out or protruding into what airspace? In other words, down below, there are people walking back and forth in the street. It's a Rishus Rabim. You know what happens? Obviously, if you put any type of kalim on a ledge outside your window, if you're not sufficiently careful, or if there's a sudden draft, a sudden wind, what do you think is going to happen to the kli? It's going to fall down. And just like you were concerned before about the Kisvei HaKodesh that you might run to pick it up, here too, your valuable vase, your valuable crockery, your valuable cutlery, it falls to the ground, you might quickly run down without thinking, bring it in, and you're going to be carrying from Shusha Rabim to Shusha Yochid. El Demapik Shusha Yochid. Okay, let's take a very simple case. That down below is his chotzer, it's his courtyard. Let's assume that he's the only person that lives there, you don't even need an Erev. Or there are multiple people and they did make an Erev. So worst comes to worst, if it falls down from the ledge, it falls to the ground. No, big deal. He'll go and bring it up. So he's from his court into his house, he's out in the court, no problem. So Pshita, so what's the Chiddush? Really, it's sticking out on top of the Shusharab. Umay noisin olav diktani, kelim hanish borim. Oh, it's really sticking out to the Shusharab. And you're saying, yeah, but maybe a kli is going to fall to the ground and he's going to go and rush down to pick it up. He's going to bring it back in. He's talking about those type of kalim that he's not concerned. What do you mean that's not concerned? Yeah, he is concerned. But worse comes to worse, if it falls down, it's zikr going to break. Says Rashi, for instance, kli cheres or zchuches. It's made either out of earthenware or made out of glassware. If it falls to the ground, he's not going to go and retrieve it on Shabbos to bring it back in. He's going to say, so sad, mazel tov, Baruch Hashem, the kelim broke, like everybody says Mazel Tov when something falls down to the ground, and therefore, says the Gemara, you don't have to worry that he's going to retrieve it. Obviously, we're talking about a case that you didn't have lots of people walking around at the time, because otherwise, Chas V'Shalom, you might hit somebody, and Chas V'Shalom, there could be a bar b'shul sarabim. Our Gemara is not focusing on that. We're focusing on strictly Hilcha Shabbos at the moment. So therefore, even if the ledge is sticking out into Rishus HaRabim, you do not have to concern yourself that maybe he's going to run down to pick it up if it falls down, because you're talking about those types of kalim which are going to break on impact. He's not going to bother running down. And in fact, Tanna Malchi, I've arrived from a Befeir Shabraisa, Zishel Efnei Achaloit, Hayoitz L'Rishus HaRabim, our case, Noisna Olav Ka'orois, Koisois, Kitoinois, Utsloichiois, all different types of kalim which are earthenware or glass kalim. Because worse comes to worse, if it falls down and it breaks, no. Too bad, so sad, but he's not going to rush to pick it up and bring it inside. And now the Gemara continues on, the Braisa continues. Umishtamish bechol ha-koisul ad asura ha-tachtoinim. What you can do is, you can mishtamish bechol ha-koisul. What does that mean? What happens if the ledge which is in front of your window is not just directly in front of your window, but in fact extends to the right and extends to the left? In other words, it's almost like a terrace, like a porch, which is up above, sticking out of your window. You can go and be mishtamish b'chol ha-koisel, from right to left. Ad asur ha-tachtoinim. Ad asur ha-tachtoinim means that as long as it's not too far away, meaning it's not, no part of the ziz is within 10 tfachim from the ground. So you don't have to worry about a Rishus HaRabim situation. And again, it would have to be with other types of kelim, because if you're talking about kelim anishbarim, it's not a problem if it falls to the ground.
Is this shelf over the Rishus HaRabim?
Very good.
And because it's 10 tefachim high, it's now in Rishus HaYachid?
You're asking excellent, excellent questions. So until now, we were talking about, as Rashi said, that it was 10 tefachim removed from the ground. So therefore, both his house was a Rishus HaYachid and the ziz was a Rishus HaYachid. We were concerned that maybe something going to fall down to the ground, he's going to pick it up and bring it back from Rishus HaRabim into his house. Kelim HaNishbarim, you don't have to worry. However, this braisa says, what happens if the ziz itself, part of the ziz, is sloping and is underneath 10 tvachim from the ground? Oy, then the ziz has a status of a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you wouldn't be able to do it. So as long as the ziz is not below the 10 tvachim from the ground.
I'm surprised the Gemara doesn't say, you know what, if you're over Rishus HaRabim, it's not a good idea to put your utensils on the ziz, because it may fall down and, God forbid, hurt someone.
Yeah. That's, as I was saying before, the Gemara is only focusing on Shabbos halachas.
Right.
It doesn't focus on Choshen and Mishpat. Choshen and Mishpat means, Chas V'Shalom, damaging somebody else. So although this was Rishus HaRabim, maybe it was closed off for the St. Patrick's Parade, which they're only doing on Shabbos that year, and everybody was drunk anyway, so nobody was passing by. The point is, that was not the concern. The concern of our Mishnah is about the Kalim and about Toitzoy Shabbos, not about somebody, Chas V'Shalom, getting damaged.
Okay.
It's not only that when it hits somebody over the head and it falls and the Chas V'Shalom gets damaged. If you have broken glass on the ground and people are walking around, especially here in the west side where some people walk around without shoes, it could be dangerous. Okay, so that was not the concern of our Gemara. Anyway, so continuing on, v'miyesh ziz echot lemata mimenu, what happens if he has a second ledge, which is below the ledge which is adjacent to his window, but which he is able to, if he sticks his hand out, he's able to reach that ziz down below, mishtamish bo, he can use that one as well, as long as it's within reach, and as long as it's not within 10 tvachim from the ground. However, but the upper one, a mishtamish bo ele keneged chaloinai. We have two parallel protrusions, two parallel ledges sticking out. One is right next to his window, that's the Elyoin. One is underneath that ledge, that's the Tachtoin. The Tachtoin is wider by definition than the Elyoin, and that's why he's able to go and reach in it, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment. The Elyoin was only Keneged HaChaloin, in other words, only parallel to the Chaloin. It was a relatively small ledge, but he was able to go and put his hands to the right of the upper ledge and to the left of the upper ledge to reach the ledge down below. He was able to put kelim. Yeah, then that's okay too. But the upper one only used connected the chaloin. In other words, only that part which is annexed which is facing an extension of his window. So, give me a better understanding of this upper ziz that you're saying you can only use keneged chalayim. If it doesn't even have four tvachim, in other words, it's such a small little legichol, it's a very small ledge. Makom ptur, even if you would say it has the status of a makom ptur, and therefore it should be mutter to put the things on, we shouldn't allow him to go and be mishtamish keneged hachaloin. Why shouldn't he be mishtamish keneged hachaloin, says Rashi? Because if it's so small, that's less than four tefachim sticking out, there's such a strong likelihood of Kalim falling from the ledge down to the ground, it's as if he is, Rashi says, lehedja, it's as if he's expressly opening up the window, putting Kalim out, and throwing them down below. And each time he opens the window, everybody at the table says, there goes another one, there's another one. We hear it, goes down to the ground. It's as if he's doing it specially to go. It's an old set of crockery. He wants to get rid of it a long time ago. Or maybe the wife has been nudging her husband already for a long time. We need a new set. No, this is good enough. It's cracked in. No, it's good enough. So she opens the window, puts it down. Another one. We have no set left. Now we got to buy a new set. So, says the Gemara, I have a problem with it. You see, if you look at the Rashi, it's a fairly lengthy Rashi, right before you hit the wide lines. If you look at the last few lines of that Rashi, five lines before the wide lines, the Avogav du Ukminon Bekelim HaNishbarim, even if you're talking about Kelim that you're not going to go and pick up from the ground because they're going to break anyway. Hanim Ilibit Isbe Dalit, at least if the ledge was four tvachim wide and long, okay, Leshchich LeMepel Kuli Hai. It's not that 50-50, 80-20, it's not. Avol Hacha de Ruba Nafli, if it's so small, it's not even four tvachim. Four tvachim means less than a foot extended from your window. Al Pirov Nafli, Mechsi, it appears, Kiman de Shodi Lehedju L'Shusram, as if he's just discarding it and throwing it to Shusram. I don't need this anymore, just get rid of it. Why should I have to wash the dishes? I might as well just throw them out and get rid of them. So, Frank Timara, if less than, going back to Agamar now, if it's talking about the Lespe Arba, see where the Aleph is in the Gemara. Idles be arba makom ptur, even if you say it's a makom ptur, v'afilu keneged chaloyin namalo yishtamish, because it's as if he's just throwing it out from Mishus Yoch Mishus Ram. V'yis be arba, and if it does have four tvachim, b'kuli ha-koysel yishtamish. So why are you saying only keneged chaloyin? Let him go and be mishtamish to the right, to the left, as far as it goes. Om rabayit tachtoin d'is be arba'o, v'elyin les be arba'o. The Tachtoin had, in fact, more than four. And that's why he wants to use the ledge down below, because it's much more space. It's much, much wider, much bigger, much longer. But the upper one is taka less than four. However, the windowsill of the window also extends for an amma or an amma, for a tefach or a half a tefach or whatever. So connected to that ledge. If you don't measure the ledge from the beginning of the ledge, measure the ledge from where the window ends and the window sill begins. If you add that all together, now you got four. So then you can go and be mishtamish keneged chaloyin, that part that's protruding right in front of the window, because you have a full four tvachim. However, and that's called the chayri chaloyin hu. The high geese also, but to the right and to the left will be prohibited because you no longer have the benefit of the extension of the windowsill. The windowsill ends where the window ends, but the ledge keeps on to the right and to the left, but you don't have four tvachim over there. So that you cannot use. The word choyre chaloin, which means literally the holes in the window, we don't mean that this window has holes. But Rashi says it's a borrowed term, because we've had already before, not too long ago in our Gemara, and you have it a number of times in Sechta Shabbos, you have a concept of Chayri Shus Rabim and Chayri Shus Yachid, which means that you have a wall, and in the wall you have little pockets, holes, and crevices where you can go and put things in. So the Gemara discusses whether Chayri Shus Rabim, Shus Rabim, Chayri Shus Yachid, Shus Yachid, those all mean it's an extension of the Shus Rabim, Shus Yachid. Here too, it is an extension of the Chaloin by having this ledge sticking out. One final Mishnah and Shtikl Gemara Zot Yimar Oymen Odom Rishu Seyachin and Metaltel Mishu Sarabim. A person is in the Rishu Seyachin and he's carrying in the Rishu Sarabim. Now how could that be? Says Rashi, the person, for instance, is in his house and he has for instance, a long, long window that extends into Rosh Hashanah, and therefore he takes his hand and sticks it out into Rosh Hashanah, and there's an object on the floor, and he carries it in Rosh Hashanah whilst he is standing in the Rosh HaYochid. Or perhaps a better case might be, better than Rashi, Chas V'Shalom, but a person happens to be in his chotzer, there happens to be a thin fence between him and Rosh HaRab, and he sees on the other side of Rosh HaRab some sort of object. He is walking in his chotzer, and he walks in his chotzer, but at the same time he's carrying that object in the Rosh HaRab. What's the din? So, you can have the reverse. This Ubavad is going on the first case, that if the person is in the Rosh HaYochid and he wants to carry the Rosh HaRab, if it's only one Amis, two Amis, three Amis, that's okay. But once he had four Amis, no good, no good. So the Chiddush of our Mishnah is telling us, even though the person remains in the Rosh HaYochid, he doesn't go into the Rosh HaRab. However, he is still being mavir metaltel arba amas v'shus rabim, and it'll be over and issa d'yorais, he'll have to go and bring a carbon chatas.
That was in Rabba's case just before.
It's something similar to Rabba's case. Rabba that he carried over his head. Exactly.
Isn't that what he's doing here? He's sticking his hand out.
He's just sticking his hand down and he's carrying in the v'shus rabim.
Oh, so the case of below 10.
Exactly. Okay. Rabba's case was above 10, he's below 10. A person unfortunately has to urinate on Shabbos. He doesn't have enough time to rush home. And if he is standing shusayachid and he wants to be mashed in, so be mashed in shusayachid. But to be mashed in shusayachid, and how you're being moitzim reshus to reshus from the shusayachid into shusayachid. And the same thing, if he's standing shusayachid, don't be mashed in shusayachid. The same type of issue. If a person has saliva in his mouth and he wants to spit it out, spit it out in your own reshus, but not from reshus yachid to reshus ram, reshus ram to reshus yachid, because you're being moitzi mereshus lereshus.
Kadabrias doesn't count?
I'm sorry, once again?
Kadabrias, spitting out. It's saliva, you should better swallow.
There's nobody within 100 miles radius. It's only him and the Rebbeinu Shloimeh. Now the question is, if I'm going to go and spit out, if I go from reshus yachid to reshus ram, reshus ram to reshus yachid, I got an issue. What's my issue? My issue is being moitzi mereshus reshus. Rabbi Yehuda oimer af mishan ilish roi kebefiv. So what would you say? Oh, I can't go and be ruck from one rishus to the other rishus. You know what? I'll just hold it in my mouth until I get home, and I'll walk that way. No. You're not allowed to do that either. It's as if you are sucking a candy in the rishus ram, right? It's in my body. No, that's also considered carrying, because it's not part of his body. It's the body is holding it. It's like holding it in your hand. You're holding it in your mouth. Even that is problematically halachar amis ad sheyorek. Until
you had a case in Shabbos where you were allowed to put something in your mouth, maybe a mouth freshener. I don't remember exactly that case, but I was surprised at the time that you could do it. But there was a case.
If that is the derech, it's almost like a malbish. Mm-hmm. We have to go back to see, you're right, to see the facts pattern of that Gemara. Yeah. But if it's the normal way that people do things, then it's like a malbish, just like you can go and put jewelry and this and that. So Gemara, Masli le Rav Chinna bar Shalmiya lechia bar Rav Kameid Rav. So Rav Chinna was teaching Chia bar Rav in front of Rav. He was teaching our Mishnah, and our Mishnah says, remember the Mishnah started off, Oymeid Adam Rishus Yachad Metalt Rishus Ram. You can, just don't go more than four Amos. But up to four Amos, you can do it. He was teaching the Mishnah, Lo Yamed Adam Rishus Yachad Metalt Rishus Ram. No, you're not allowed to do it even 1 inch. You're not allowed. Lo Yamed Adam Rishus Yachad. Now, we have such a Mishnah, and Mi'at Hashem, if you'd be so kind, let's just turn to Dafin and get to two Kuf Aleph Omid Aleph. Kuf Aleph Omid Aleph. Notice there's a Mishnah about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and the Mishnah begins. Lo yamoid odem b'rishus yachad v'yiftach b'rishus rabim b'rishus rabim b'rishus yachad b'rishus yachad. It's talking about using a key to open up a doorway. If you're standing b'rishus yachad and you have the key and it's going to b'rishus rabim or vice versa, don't do it l'kei machitza gavoy asar etzvachim divi rev meir. So the Mishnah began, lo yamoid, don't do such things of b'rishus yachad b'rishus rabim, and that was Rabbi. Lo yamid. So getting back to our Gemara now, Rav Chinna, when he was learning our Mishnah, he also started off lo yamid od mishus yachad metal mishus rab. So Omalei, so Rav said to Rav Chinna, Shavkis Rabbanim the Avdis Kremeir. I see that you're learning that Mishnah of Rameir on Daf Kuf Aleph, where it says Lo Yamid Adam. So you're passing like that Mishnah of Rameir against our Mishnah, which seems to be a Stam Mishnah of the Rabbanon. You're following Rameir against our Mishnah of the Rabbanon. Everyone who saw him in a sefer of Meir, Nami Rameir. The reason why Rav Chinuna said Lo Yamid, because he understood, he assumed that he's not taking a stand in a machloket between Rabban and Rav Meir, but that in fact Rav Meir is the Tana of our Mishnah. Now, why did he assume that Rav Meir is the Tana of our Mishnah? Because although from our Mishnah until Daf Kuf Aleph, we'll see in Me'at Hashem there are 3, 4, 5 Mishnayos. Tomorrow alone we have a Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, 2, 3 Mishnayos on the Amud Beis, and so on and so forth. However, none of those Mishnayos could contain a name. They are all nameless, anonymous Mishnayos. The first time we come across a name is on Daf Kuf Aleph, where it says Divrei Rav Meir, and therefore Rav Chinuna assumed that from our Mishnah all the way to Kuf Aleph, it's all Rav Meir. Or with one exception, we have Rav Yehuda at the end of our Mishnah, but Rav Yehuda is just adding a separate halacha l'gabi Niklish Roikai. It's really not the same focus, and therefore he, Rav Chinuna, assumed that everything's Rav Meir from beginning to end until Daf Kuf Aleph, and Divrei Meir is the conclusion of all those 5, 10 halachas. So he's not taking a stand, or rather he's saying, what do you mean? It's all Rav Meir. I'm Pascal Rav Meir. What do you want from my life? However, but he was wrong. Say this Taka Rav Meir, Bereisha, our Mishnah is Taka the Rabbanan, and therefore Rav says, how can you go and prefer Rav Meir and Daf Kuf Aleph to the Rabbanan of our Mishnah? What you did is incorrect. And again, Rav Chinuna, at least it seems from the Mishnah, that mistakenly he thought it was all Rav Meir, and therefore he is not taking a stand in any Machloikis Tanoim.
When do we say Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir?
Stam Mishnah we say is Rav Meir if you have no other choice and you have nobody else. The reason why the Gemara assumes that this is not Rav Meir is because our Mishnah starts of Oymet Adam Umetaltel, and that Mishnah says Lo Yamoid Umetaltel, Lo Yamoid Adam Mishnas Yachav Yiftach Mishnas Ram. So therefore, we're assuming that there's a Machloikis. If there's a Machloikis, you're taking a stand. According, you're taking the stand, the position of Rav Meir on Daf Kuf Aleph against our Mishnah, which is doesn't sound like it's Rav Meir, because after all, it says Oymet Adam, you're allowed to Umetaltel, and it says Lo. Says Rav Chinuna, no, I didn't learn it that way. I assume that this is all Rav Meir from beginning to end. So if we want, no. In fact, it's a machloikis. This is Rabbanan, that's Rav Meir, and therefore don't paskel like Rav Meir against the Rabbanan.
Hope he kept his job.
Have a wonderful day, boys. Any questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Where does Rav Yehuda distinguish between 3 trachim, how close is considered part of Rishus HaRav, or something above that, which we had earlier? Didn't he say that he distinguished? He said how when the scroll was Megalil,
it'd be higher than 3 and lower than 3.
He said Tok Shlosh at the Rebbe Sarekha. I think it was...
Look at the top 2 lines of the Amud Beis here.
Yeah.
Because the Shein Meshup on the Mal Mishloisha Goy Leyatzlei, the Mat Mishloisha Hoifchei Alaksa.
Right.
Now, why does he make the distinction between the 3, above the 3, and lower than 3? Because
right.
Lower than 3, at this point, the Gemara assumes it means it was Noch, it fell to the ground, it didn't really fall to the ground, but it's within the 3 Tvachim airspace, so it's as if it's Munach Al Gabi Karka because of the concept of Lovut. Says Yimara, but that means that Rav is now taking sides in this machloikas, because Rav has said Teich Shloish Rabban and Tzarech Hanocha. Therefore, Yimara said no, Leimik Katanoi, and Yimara said no, it's all Rabbi Yehuda Chzer Mechzera. And bottom line is that in fact Rabbi Yehuda rejects this concept of 3 tvachim, and it says it has to actually hit the ground and not that it's hovering in midair.
Yeah, so in the Mishnah,
right. That's lower than within the earspace of Rishus HaRav.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're making a further distinction in Shlosh Tvachim, because we're saying that Shlosh Tvachim is considered Lavud, and therefore it's only that which makes it Rishus HaRav.
And that was a Havamina, which the Gemara ultimately rejected, because 6 lines from the top of the Amud, it said the Amud Rava, Toich Shlosh Rabbanan Tzarech Hanoch, it has to actually lie on the ground. The fact that it's hovering within 3 tvachim is gornish mit gornish. So that was a havamina which the Gemara has now respected.
So it's gornish mit gornish, but what about according to the Tanakhama within 10 tvachim?
Within 10 tvachim, if it's lower, it's within 10 tvachim from the ground, it's deemed to be within the Rishus HaRabim airspace.
So they're arguing what is considered within the Rishus HaRabim here?
Slow down. again, you have to throw in the koisel meshupa concept. It's koisel meshupa, and it's now landed within 10 tvachim from the ground, it's on the ground, it's rishus here, it's rishus haram, then you can no longer go and be golem. Then you have to be hoifal ksav. But if it's not koisel meshupa, and therefore it's just straight, then it makes no difference, even if it's a hair breadth from the ground. Says the Buddha, it's still fine. It didn't hit the ground. Therefore, there's no Akira and Hanukkah situation. We did away with that. We said that initially, but since we want a Paschal like Rava, we don't want Rava to get involved in Machloikis, and therefore we said it's actually just Rabbi Yehuda, there's no Machloikis. If it hits the ground, we got a problem. If it's hovering 1 inch from the ground, it's one hair breadth, you're still okay. Baruchim to you. Any other questions? Hearing none, have a wonderful day. Rabbi Samichim to continue tomorrow morning at 7:45 or 7:45-ish, just in case we get a little delayed because of laning and Tachman. Have a good day. Be well.